Well, maybe this question we've been talking about all night is getting answered for us. Not good news out of Ravens Colts. What could you be talking about, Chris? It's a preseason game. Well, Anthony Richardson got blindsided on a free rush by a Ravens edge player and is out of the game with a finger injury. Wow, you can't make this up. And this coming after the news that all-pro left tackle for the Chargers, Rashawn Slater, is out for the season with a patellar tendon. So let's ask
our
next
guest. There's more credence right there, huh? Why guys shouldn't be playing. Yeah.
Let's ask our next guest. He is the AP Senior NFL Insider, Rob Motti, joins us now. Rob, where do you stand on this? Because our guy here in Atlanta, Raheem Morris, says Michael Penix Jr. will not be suiting up, at least for this weekend. And now we're seeing evidence of more injuries piling up in the preseason. What is your stance? Should starters play or not?
I can't blame coaches for holding out starters, guys. I wrote today a little bit about the importance of the joint practices where you really can get your quarterbacks and you can get your starters, your key players, those game reps that they need in a live practice setting. And then especially for a quarterback, you're not going to get hit like you would in a game, in a joint practice. And also, a lot of times when you get in a situation in the exhibition games in the preseason, you don't want to show much of your offense. So what are you really doing out there? You can get all of those reps, the important reps. You can show more of your offense in that controlled environment, in that controlled setting of a joint practice, without running the risk of, I mean, guys can get hurt no matter what. Look at Rashawn Slater today, goes down, torn patella tendon in practice for the LA Chargers. But as you just alluded to, and you just mentioned how Anthony Richardson gets blindsided and gets hurt tonight, which is kind of rare. You don't often see blitzing like that and I haven't seen the play yet. I'm just going off of what you said, but blitzing like that in preseason games, but it's fair game. So I've seen teams who've held out their starters have a ton of success and go on and win a Super Bowl like last year with the Eagles and with Jalen Hurts. And although sometimes it can lead to slow starts early in the season, September is the first couple weeks of the year that you're still ironing things out. You're still working on chemistry. You're still building. It's a 17-game season, and I know each game is important, but I can completely sympathize with coaches who want to hold, whether it's Michael Penix and Raheem Morris in Atlanta with the Falcons or other coaches who want to do it. It makes a lot of sense to me. You got to protect your $40, $50, $60 million assets.
Yeah, and to your point, it was either a missed assignment or just a completely blown offensive scheme where the defender literally just got a free rush straight to the quarterback. Wow. There wasn't even an attempt at a block there. So it was hopefully we'll find out good news about Anthony Richardson there. What did you make of Michael Penix last year, Rob, in his three starts? Do you feel like you saw enough to be confident that he can be the star quarterback we're hoping for here in Atlanta?
He certainly got that talent. There was some inconsistency, which is understandable coming into the season, coming into a situation like he did, final six games, final seven game stretch. You still have Kirk Cousins there as one, a veteran leader, but also it can be difficult for a young quarterback knowing that there's an accomplished, proven winning veteran on the sideline. So it puts a little bit of extra pressure on Michael, but he certainly got a ton of talent. He's got talent around him, and it's going to be a big year. There's a lot of quarterbacks who make a huge leap from year one to year two. I'm working on a piece about that for sometime maybe in the next couple weeks. And although Michael didn't start a lot of games last year, there are other guys in similar situations. Tom Brady didn't start in his rookie season, won a Super Bowl in year two. Kurt Warner, same thing, won a Super Bowl in year two. Brock Purdy lost a Super Bowl in year two. There's a huge list of guys who Carson Wentz, if you go back to someone not that long ago, was an MVP candidate in year two, set the Eagles up to be the number one seed, then got injured and tore his ACL and missed the rest of the season. Colin Kaepernick lost the Super Bowl in year two. So we've seen quarterbacks who have a huge leap, whether they played 16 games, 17 games, or 8, 9, or 10 as a rookie. Now, I don't know that the Falcons, and I don't think that the Falcons are positioned right now to be a Super Bowl contender. It's a tough division. I'm here in Tampa. I see the Buccaneers on a daily basis, and this is a four-time defending NFC South champion that doesn't want to relinquish their hold on that division, and they feel they've got visions of the Super Bowl, and they certainly feel like they're underrated. I think the Carolina Panthers are a team that is improved. I love their coaching staff. And I think the New Orleans Saints with Kellen Moore will be tough. So it's going to be a difficult division just to come out of the NFC South for Michael Penix and the Falcons. So it's going to be real interesting to see how that plays out, especially he's still got Kirk there going into this year. But, again, I think he's got a ton of talent and the pieces and the players around him to be able to have a lot of success.
Speaking of Tampa, do you believe what Baker did last season is repeatable? That was, I don't want to say out of nowhere because he has had good seasons before, but not to the level of which he had last year. That was something special.
The reason I think it is repeatable, and he also had a great first year, and it's wild because he comes in replacing Brady and coming off being dumped by three teams, and he has a really solid first year with the Buccaneers, threw for over 4,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and what separated him or helped him last year is the Bucs finally had a rushing offense. They had a run game. They went from being bottom three, bottom four in the NFL for 3 or 4 years to top five last year with Bucky Irving, and they still got Rashad White, and that certainly helped. And they had stability on their offensive line. Now, Tristan Wirfs, their all-pro left tackle, is down. He may miss the start of the season, but if they can continue to have that stability up front and protect Baker, if the run game can have success, and now he's on his third offensive coordinator too, guys, in 3 years. He went from Dave Canales his first season with the Bucs to Liam Cohn last year to Josh Grizzard this year. So it's going to be a little bit of a transition, but then they go out and get a first-round wide receiver. And they've got a lot of pieces and a lot of talent around him. I said that about Penix, but you know, Michael Evans is a first ballot Hall of Fame. In my eyes, he doesn't have to play another down in the NFL. He would be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And Chris Godwin's still working his way back, but Baker's got a lot of talent around him. And what I've been most impressed with Baker Mayfield is the maturity coming off the disappointment of how things unfolded for him in Cleveland, going to the Panthers, going to the Rams. He's learned a lot. He's matured a lot. He's become a leader, a guy that guys gravitate to in that locker room. And I think that helps big time. So I don't know if he can do 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, 70% completion, 107 rating. Like his numbers were, I believe only three or four other quarterbacks had put up those now over 70%, over 4,500, over 40 touchdowns in the history of the league, something crazy like that. But barring injury, I think he can have a great year.
Talking all things NFL with AP, senior insider Rob Motti here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Chris Thomas tonight with you until 10 o'clock. What do you make of this debacle going on in Dallas, Rob? I know you've covered the league for a long time. Like, at what point does anyone around Jerry Jones try to convince him that his ego is, you know, getting in the way directly of the success of the team? Or is there just not that figurehead, even his son Steven, to get this thing done with Micah Parsons? What do you make of this situation?
Yeah, I don't think, guys, that there's anyone in Dallas who can have that honest conversation with Jerry Jones. And I think you hit the nail on the head there, letting his ego get in the way. This is how Jerry Jones operates and how he's done things. Go back to Emmitt Smith holding out, missing the first two games, and then they go on and win a Super Bowl that year. This is way back in, what was it, 93? We're talking 32 years ago, and Jerry Jones brings that up and says, hey, if Micah misses the first two games, we could still win a Super Bowl. Different era, different type of player. They're not going to win anything if they don't have Micah Parsons out there helping that defense. He's an absolute game wrecker. He's a generational player, and he's owed a ton of money that's going to be coming his way at some point. And Jerry's refusal to even negotiate with the agent is just strange. Now, there's a lot. I've talked to a lot of people about this around the league, and they just think that eventually it's going to get done. I feel this may not be, you know, like Dak Prescott last year, and it got done right before week one, and CeeDee Lamb eventually got done. I feel like maybe there's something more personal here. I don't know what's happening, but, you know, Mike is an outspoken guy, and sometimes that hurts him when people around the league want to vote for awards or whatever it may be. They may not perceive Micah as a team guy if he's out there doing a podcast talking about different things that are going on around the league within his team, however it is. But he's outspoken. It's refreshing. You know, it's crazy. We as the media want guys to tell it like it is. And then when they do, we're often critical and jumping on them for doing that, right? So I appreciate Micah's honesty and his transparency. I think somebody's got to get in Jerry's ear, and I don't know if that person exists who can sit down and tell him, hey, this is the best thing for the organization right now. Make it happen. Now, I will say, from an owner's standpoint, I do understand reluctance to give a player that kind of money when they're still under contract, because we've seen guys go out and get hurt. And I'll bet you Jerry Jones is paying attention to what happened to Rashawn Slater, and he may drop that the next time there's a microphone in front of him, like, hey, he got money and he got hurt and they're not going to have him. And that, all that'll do is alienate the relationship a little bit further.
Yeah, you know what the thing is, Rob? If you're an athlete, you can't have a podcast. You need to be dedicated to your craft 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God forbid you take 1 hour a day to talk into a microphone. It's become a little eccentric as more and more athletes gain their own voices. What about in Cincinnati? It needs to get done sooner rather than later. Is Hendrickson eventually going to cave? Is Mike Brown eventually going to cave? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, they're fortunate in Cincinnati that Trey Hendrickson is a high character. Not that Mike, this is no comparison to Micah Parsons. I believe he is too as well. But Trey Hendrickson is a high character, strong man of faith who's not going to be causing problems and trouble inside that locker room. And he's doing what he can right now to not be a distraction, but it is. And again, just like the Cowboys aren't going to win much without Micah Parsons, I know the Bengals paid their receivers. They paid Joe Burrow, but a big problem for that team has been the defensive side of the football. And you've got a guy who led the league in sacks last year, was a first-team All-Pro. He's an important piece, an important pass rusher, and he's earned himself a raise. And the Bengals are notorious for not wanting to pay guys what they've earned or what they deserve. This one's a little bit – It's crazy to think about. I had a conversation with a GM whose team needed an edge rusher way back at the combine. And I said, you guys need to look at Trey Hendrickson. And he said, no way, because the price is going to be through the roof. And then you got to go out and pay him 30+ million. And I said, what do you think that price is going to be? And he told me at least a couple ones. That isn't the price anymore. At this point, if he was going to be on the trade market, if the Bengals reach that point where they feel like Trey Hendrickson, they're not going to pay him, he's 30 years old, and they're going to just move on rather than holding out, there are teams out there who can use a pass rusher who can probably steal Trey Hendrickson. They're going to have to pay him, but who are probably going to be able to get him for. I still believe it's not a first-round pick, and it's not multiple like this GM thought it was. I think it's a second-round pick at best, and then conditional picks. So this is a situation that I feel can end up in a trade at some point, because I just don't see the Bengals doing what they need to do to produce a winner on the football, a championship-caliber team, and that's what they need to do because they have the pieces on offense. They got to do it on defense, and that organization just doesn't get these things done.
Rob, appreciate the time. We'll chat again soon, and we'll be checking you out in the AP. Really appreciate it.
You got it, fellas. Take care.
All right, that is Rob Motti of the AP Senior NFL Insider. Good stuff there from him. When we get back, let's talk some dogs, shall we? Jeremy Johnson, Dogs Insider, is going to stop by. A lot of recruiting news, a lot of positivity coming out of practice And what does he think about Gunnar Stockton? Can he be that guy? All that and more. Dogs fans, coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight.